Well, amen. I need my volunteers to come up. I had some volunteers that were going to help me, and they're going to come up here real quick, and we're going to get started. The whole idea of perspective is something that we're going to be talking about. We began to talk about love, and you guys could just stand here, and so Trevor and Guy and Tish, they don't know this, but I found out some of their deep, dark secrets, and so we're going to share those real quick with you. It's okay. It's all pleasant. Now, you guys can't watch. You can't look at this, okay? So you just need to hold this in front of you. Yeah, just hold that in front of you, just like that. There you go. So you know, when you look at this, you think, wow, right? This is the worst sin these guys have ever committed, and so probably what Trevor and Tish want to do is they want to kind of come over here, right? So come on over here a little bit. Yeah, just leave Guy standing over there because, Guy, man, that guy. Go ahead and read it if you want. Oh, yeah. So that's a surprise, right? Yeah. And then Tish, what about yours? Is that? Yeah. Oh, that's bad. How about Trevor?
I called someone an idiot.
Yeah. So here's what we do. So, Guy, you don't look like a murderer. Why don't you give that one to Tish? No. Here's what we do. We separate, don't we? This is what we do. It's just a normal thing. Now, I'm seriously, these guys haven't done these things. I'm just illustrating what we do. If this were true, this is kind of what we would do. We would kind of grade how bad a person might be. So probably, Trevor, you're good, man, because, you know, that everybody calls people idiot, right? So if we were to rank these guys good, better, best, I'm probably going to say Trevor's best, and Tish is probably, yeah, better, and then, Guy, I'm sorry, dude, you're out of it, yeah. But this is our problem in our world, and you know, even the perspective of looking and seeing, wow, that might be the case. Who are we not going to associate with? Who are we going to look at and say, yeah, man, I don't know, that's just way too bad. Which one of these people would be the most receptive to the gospel? Well, we don't know. If we stereotype, we won't know if we automatically just pass judgment upon them without really finding out what's going on. Hey, guys, thanks. This is not true. We know that, and I appreciate. I see they'll never volunteer for anything again. Yeah. It's just, yeah, that's true. So here's the thing: if I'm walking through the grocery store, and I go by that fresh produce aisle, and I see broccoli, now I'm going to judge that broccoli. Basically, I'm just going to say pass by. It's no good. Just leave it sit there. That's my judgment. Now, if Miller walks by, I think Miller likes broccoli, right? So Miller's going to judge that broccoli too, but he's going to judge it by tenderness, firmness. I don't know how to judge broccoli correctly, but there's going to be some qualities that he's going to look at before he purchases it. We both judge the broccoli. We just judge it by different standards. When Miller finally wakes up, he'll realize it's best just to pass by and leave it sit there, but maybe he won't. So when we talk about judgment, we're going to have to understand what is the best approach for a child of God when we look at our world. How do we look at the world and see it the way that Christ would have us to see it? If it were true about Guy and Tish and Kenny, would that change our perspective of them? Would that change how we view them, how we approach them, how we accept them? I think it would. So what we need to be careful with is to make sure that when we see the world, we can see it through the eyes of Christ, which is why we're going to look at Matthew 7 today, Matthew 7 verses 1 through 6. This is a very familiar passage. We use this, people use this constantly. It's one of those cliche kind of a sayings. You know, it's one of those, but the problem with this saying is we so take it out of context. We just don't spend much time looking to see what Jesus really means by it. Let me read those six verses for you. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Here's Jesus' words. He says, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite. First take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them with their feet, turn, and tear you to pieces. So as Jesus is getting ready to conclude this Sermon on the Mount, as he's getting ready to conclude this, he's talked about some very specific things. He's talked about love. He's talked about anxiety. He's talked about how to give God first, and then, you know, how this righteousness comes from giving God first. And then all of a sudden he just says, oh, hey, by the way, don't judge. Don't judge one another. Now, what's difficult about this is that Jesus says don't do it, but we do it all the time. And it's not so much that we can't do it, and it's not so much that we shouldn't do it. It's just we don't do it right. We judge people by different standards. What we'll do is we'll see people because, you know, nobody wants to be guy, because that guy, he's done the ultimate. And so what we do is we like to say, oh, hey, look at that guy, because it makes me feel better. I haven't done that, so I guess I'm okay. So when Jesus tells us, why do we look at the speck in other people's eyes, but we don't notice the log that's in our own? And if we pay attention to that question, we're going to see a little bit of a different world kind of open up before us. So let me just share with you three things that I think Jesus is telling us here. In order for us to go through life, because if we figure out what Jesus means by this statement, it's going to help us to approach, it's going to help us to witness. Folks, it's going to help us to get along with people much better. First thing he wants us to do is have clarity of vision. If we're going to look at this question that he asks, we need clarity of vision. The biggest problem in misrepresenting or the misinterpretation of this verse is that the person that this verse is meant to be, to the one who's meant to hear it, we're not taking it the way he wants us to hear it. It's the person on the periphery that uses this verse. In other words, somebody may say something to you and you'll say, hey, don't judge me. Well, it's not about the judgee, it's about the judger. So this passage is about those who pass judgment. So the one who feels judged will say something like, you have no right to judge me or tell me I'm wrong. Well, what are you worried about my speck? You got a log, man. No, that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus wants you to take a look at your log. And in order for us to do that, we have to have clarity of vision. This is all about what we see and how we see it. So let's go back and look at one more time. Four things that he wants us to see clearly. Number one, do you not see that if you judge people, that's how you're judged? That's what he tells us. Verse 1, do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. So if you have a standard for somebody, guess what? They have that same standard for you. If you judge a person in a particular way, guess what? You will be judged in that particular way. So in order to have clarity of vision, we need to be able to see that if we judge people, then that's how we're going to be judged. The second thing our eyes need to be open to is, do you not see the standard you expect from others is your standard as well? So the standard, I expect people to drive the way I drive. Well, but if you drive the way I drive, I don't like you. Isn't that weird? It's just how it goes. I mean, you should be able to drive just as aggressively as I used to drive, I should say. But if you do, then I don't like that. So it's just great. That's the standard. So that's what Jesus says. Don't you see? You will be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. Number three, do you not see that the things you see in others are in you as well? Do you not see that the things you see in others are in you as well? What's interesting, when he goes into verse 3, he says, why do you look at the speck, splinter? Why do you look at that little dot in your brother's eye, but you don't see the log in your own? Now, in a sense, Jesus is talking about the same materials. Being a carpenter, it's quite possible that, you know, he knows about wood. I mean, his father, earthly father, was a carpenter, so he probably knows things about craftsmanship. He probably knows what it's like to get sawdust in his eye. Anybody that worked with wood, you know what that's like. And so what Jesus is talking about is, you know, the log is made out of wood, and so is the speck. So when he says, why are you looking at the sawdust when you don't see the 2x4? So they're both the same thing, just different levels or different measures of the two. So he says, don't you see that the things that you see in other people, they are present in you as well? Maybe from different degrees. And I know that Jesus is probably speaking metaphorically. It's kind of interesting that a very serious topic, Jesus is using humor, because this is practically very humorous. I mean, this would be a funny thing for people to hear, but they'll get the point. So don't you see that the things you see in others are in you as well? And then number four, do you not see that your witness is revealed in your judgment? Do you not see that your witness is revealed in your judgment? If I had my druthers, if I had my way, the first person that I would want to witness to would be the one that doesn't have very much sin. You know, the one that didn't kill, that guy, I'm not qualified to witness to that person. And that person that gets mad at church, it's probably me that they were mad at. And so the person, idiot, I can relate to that because I've done that. See, but what I'm not doing is I'm not allowing my judgment. It clouds my witness. And so Jesus tells us, look what he says in verse 6. Don't give what is holy to dogs. Or toss your pearls before pigs. See, dogs and pigs, those are metaphors for people who really don't care about the gospel. But they do care to see the gospel in you. The people that Jesus would be speaking about would be those religious people. They don't care what Jesus has to say about the gospel. They've heard it. They've seen Jesus do the things that only Jesus could do, that only God could do. But yet, they're still trying to find some way to find fault in him. They're not paying attention. And so there's a couple of references. If you're taking notes, Proverbs 26:11, we see this contrast between pigs and dogs and what's that mean. And also in 2 Peter 2:22, so just if you want to just kind of do some self-feeding and just check that out, that's people that really don't have an interest in the gospel. But man, they sure want to see the gospel in you, because if you say you are who you are, they want some proof to that. And that's why it's just what dogs and pigs do. They just want proof for that. So the way we judge, Jesus is just, you need to be able to see that your witness is revealed in the way that you judge others. And so the clarity of vision is what Jesus is getting us to see. Before I can go after your speck, I need to take a look at my log. Number two, he tells us to care about the speck. I mean, he does. He tells us to care about the speck. Notice what he says. Verse 5, hypocrite. We'll get to that in a moment. But after he says hypocrite, what's he say? First. The first thing you need to do. So it's not like he's not condemning the speck. He's just telling us to prioritize what we do here. He wants us to care for the speck. The specks are important. Friends, we all have specks. We all have logs. The speck is important. But we can't look at specks until we can clearly see them. And you can't clearly see it because of your own log. And so we need to care about the specks. He says, first, take the log out of your eye, verse 5, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, brother is a key word. Our task as believers is not going into the world and start speck hunting. Worldly folks, non-believers, they have no idea that that's a speck. He's talking about how we treat those within the family, brothers and sisters in Christ. He uses the term brother, and that's a term of endearment that would suggest that he's talking about people that have that same belief pattern that you do. First, he says, first, take your log, then you can see the speck. So there needs to be care about the speck. But here's what the speck is. The speck isn't my way to judge you. No. The speck is a mutually agreed upon obstacle to spiritual growth. Specks are mutually agreed upon obstacles to spiritual growth. What we've done is we've turned the speck into a judging point. If we have clarity of vision, we won't do that. If we are seeing clearly, if we have taken care of our own log, then we can take care of the speck. Now, there's something peculiar about this verse, about these verses. If we're going to help you, I'm going to help you with your speck, I don't need help with my log. See, the log is obvious. I look in the mirror, wow, there's the 2x4. I mean, I don't need help with that. But we need help with specks. You know why we need help with specks? Because we have mutually agreed to deal with some of these areas in our lives that we struggle with. That's not a judging call. We're mutually agreeing upon it. We're saying, you know what, you're right, Pastor. I don't love like I should. I need help with that. And I'm not caring like I should, or I am judging. Or, you know, I eat broccoli. I know I need to deal with that. In whatever way you need to deal with that. It's not a sin to eat broccoli, is it? No? Is it a sin not to eat broccoli? Be careful. Speck, there's your log. Get your log out of your eye. No. Here's the thing. The idea here is that at the foot of the cross, folks, we're exactly the same. We're exactly the same. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3. And if you just want to jot that down, you can, or I'm going to read that verse to you. Galatians chapter 3. And here's what Paul says in verse 27 and 28. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. So those of us who are born again, it's basically we put on Christ like an overcoat. Now look what he says in verse 28. There is no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. As believers, we are all the same. We need to start treating others as the same. So the care about the speck is important. We need to care about the speck. And we care about the speck because when we can clearly see them, because we've removed the log, and they're mutually agreed upon, so you and I are agreeing that we can handle each other's specks. It's okay to help one another with those small problems. But we also know that we're exactly the same at the foot of the cross. Now, there's a very intentional reason why I had Guy, Tish, and Trevor up here. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaks about those three things. And in Matthew 6, as he talks about those three things, Matthew 5, he talks about those things. In verse 21, here's what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not murder. Oh, there's the murder. And whoever murders will be subject to judgment. So that was the law. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And everyone who says to his brother, fool, will be subject to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, you moron, will be subject to hellfire. Now, if you haven't heard that, let me read that one more time. Whoever murders will be subject to judgment. Whoever is angry at a brother will be set before the Sanhedrin. But if you call somebody an idiot, Jesus says you are subject to hellfire. It's almost as if Jesus has these sins reversed. We have judged those sins in a particular way, but if you notice how Jesus has prescribed these sins. And what he is saying is all of this is a condition of the heart. How, How do we feel? What's the condition of the heart? Now, if we were to take those three sins and if we were to give them rank, we would definitely say murder's the worst. You know, getting angry at a church member, second, and then calling somebody an idiot would be third. That's not how Jesus says it. You know why? Because it's what's coming from the heart. Now, of course, they are different in God's eyes. We know that. But as far as the judgment perspective, they're the same, folks. According to Galatians chapter 3, they're the same. So that's why we have to care about the speck. We are trying to grow together. We are trying to be together in the proper way. So thirdly, not only do we have to have clarity of vision and we need to care about the speck, but Jesus also tells us in verse 5 that costumes are bogus. I'm just going to use that word bogus. Costumes are just, they're just bogus. Look, we're getting ready to come up to that Halloween activity, that Halloween night, and if I'm outside and if I see a 4-foot-tall dinosaur walking down the road, I know that's fake. I know that's not a real dinosaur. I know that. You know those dinosaur costumes, little kid gets in it, look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I know it's not a real dinosaur. I can see that. It's obvious. And I know when people wear masks, because the masks we wear are just that. They're just masks. Jesus uses this word hypocrite. Hypocritos, actor. Many years ago, Thespis. Thespis was a guy who was an ancient Greek actor, and Thespis was given credit to being the first person to stand on a stage before an audience and pretend to be somebody else. Thespis. That's why in school we have thespians. That's the acting guild or the acting group. They're called thespians. Because of Thespis. So he was the first guy to go up there and pretend to be somebody else, use his voice differently. Then they began to wear costumes. Well, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of actors around back then, so they would have one actor sometimes would have to play multiple roles. So they would use costuming and they would change their voices, but then it wasn't too very long that they began to just wear masks. They would put a mask on, and I think I have a picture of what these look like. These are some of those ideas of what they look like. If you notice them, I mean, they all look kind of weird and ugly, and they all got big mouths. Hey, they didn't have microphones back then, so you still had to be able to project your voice. But a person who wore these were hypocritos. That's what it was. They were hypocrites. In other words, they really weren't who were they portraying to be. We know that the 4-foot dinosaur really isn't a 4-foot dinosaur. Some kid inside or adult in the costume is portraying themselves as a dinosaur. Hypocrite. That's a favorite church word, isn't it? We love that word. We just do. It's just kind of a cool word. Hypocrite. Just quit wearing masks. That's what Jesus is talking about. The mask, we wear a mask. If you want somebody to see the real you, you need to see the real them. So Jesus says, look, stop judging based on this. Stop wearing a mask. Everybody sees the mask. We see it. You see mine, I see yours. What if we just had clarity of vision? And what if we were concerned enough about the spiritual pilgrimage of one another? We would just remove those facades. We would take the mask off. And you can see the real me, and I can see the real you. Because I know it's there, just like you can see through mine. When that guy came on the stage, and he put the mask on, and he was portraying being the sun, everybody in the audience knew he wasn't the sun. They knew he wasn't the moon. They knew that he wasn't the killer. He wasn't the victim. They knew that. He was portraying that. That's what the masks are. When I compare myself to Christ, guess what happens? The mask comes off. And that's what we need to do. We need to compare ourselves with Christ. And when we do that, then the masks come off. And he says, first, take the log out of your eye. And then you can clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Why do we judge? Why is it so easy to judge? Thursday, I had a low tire on my truck, and so I took it in the shop and need an oil change anyway, so I said, hey, can you fix this flat? And I found a little nail hole. I knew where it was, and I kind of circled it and So, yeah, we could do that. So they fixed it. And then Friday, I noticed, you know, my little sensor in my dashboard was telling me I had a low tire. I'm like, what? They just fixed that. Guess what the first thought through my mind was? That stupid mechanic doesn't know how to fix a tire. I mean, that was my first thought. Come on. Of course, it's on the weekend, so I got to wait all weekend before I can take it back. Thank God for the weekend. Because if I would have taken it back the way I felt then, things would not have been pleasant. So finally, yesterday, I'm fed up. I'm like, you know what? It won't hold air anymore. So I had to put my spare on there. Well, I wanted to research. And so I started spraying my tire with soapy water. 5 holes in my tire. 5. Now, chances are he probably patched the one. And from the time that he patched the one until the time I finally replaced it, 5 other holes showed up. I don't think the guy was poking holes in my tire. I think something else happened. But I judged because I was disappointed because of how I felt. So thank God for soapy water, because I would have made a fool of myself going in there and saying, you can't even fix a tire. See, that's just what life does. So why do we judge? To make ourselves feel better? We don't want to do that. Jesus asked the question, why? Why are you so bothered by this speck when you ought to take a look at the old beam that you have? Why does Jesus ask this question? So what are some things that people do that we judge them for? That's a good takeaway. When we do something with good intentions and then we find out that we were judged wrongly for it, how does that make us feel? Right? Why do we even judge others in the first place? Those are some questions that we'll be asking through this week. So pay attention to those. But pay attention to what Jesus wants. Clarity of vision, concern for the speck, and we know that costumes aren't real. That's the best teaching we can have today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sharing with us from your word and teaching us what it means to be what you have called us to be. We know that, man, in our world today, it's really hard. But if we're judging wrong, if we're judging in the first place, we can't be a witness. What we need to do is we need to have care. We need to have concern. Just love people. You know, we love people to the cross of Calvary. We're not going to hate them there. It's not going to work. And then if we decide who's we think is worthy of the gospel, none of us are worthy of the gospel. So just like Paul wrote in Galatians 3, we're all the same. So when we leave today and as we go about our journey this week and as we continue to engage these concepts and these ideas and these questions, will our hearts and minds be open to you and your will and to the promise that you have for us? I thank you, God, that you've saved me. Others could use that salvation as well. So I always want to have an open mind to that and help us to share the gospel. And if we want some questions answered, let's just ask them. And just see how your scripture can come alive within each one of us. But as we leave, let's leave with a vision clear enough to see the world truly as it is. People that need the love of Jesus, whether they're born again or not, we all need the love of Christ. Help us to share that, we pray in his name. Amen.